Greetings and welcome everyone to the Evolutionary Leaders Contact and Conscious Evolution Synergy Circle. Thank you all for joining us. For those of you that are here for the first time, the purpose of this Synergy Circle is to support and accelerate the conscious evolution of humanity and expansion of human awareness through increasing our individual and collective readiness for overt ongoing contact with other intelligences in our cosmic family. So today, our beloved colleagues and coordinators of this circle, Dr. JJ and Desiree Hertok, founders of the Academy for Future Science, and Alan Seinfeld, host and producer of New Realities, will share with us the most recent government inside releases from UFO whistleblowers, including former head level US government intelligence officer, David Grouch. That was on the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon UAP Task Force, and shared publicly recently in the news, I don't know if some of you saw, about a top secret military program that has found wreckage of fully intact UFOs and what they are now called UAPs of non-human origin that he believes the government has been keeping secret from the US Congress and the public. And also I just saw recently US Senator Marco Rubio said that people who have had firsthand knowledge or claim to have come forward to share information with the Intelligence Committee that he's part of. And some of these people are still working in the government. So I think we're probably going to be touching on that today. So today, Drs. Hertok and Alan Seinfeld will discuss the huge implications of this disclosure and the constitutional crisis it has created inside government and the existential crisis that it may create in the public. And after their sharing, they will engage us in an open discussion about the implications of these new realities. So I'd like to turn it over to them so we can begin.
We are at the threshold of a new history, a new time in human civilization. I thought no better people to join me in this discussion than JJ and Desiree Hertok, who've been studying this phenomena well since the 70s and before. JJ Hertok has a long history of being with the top experts as one of the top experts in the field. JJ, you want to do a little introduction to your background in UFOs, and then I'll go into the PowerPoint that Diane was talking about with these whistleblowers. So go ahead.
Well, thank you, Diane and Alan. We welcome all of you who are listening to this very important program. And I've been involved since the 70s, being a participant with Dr. J. Allen Hynek from Northwestern University and Harvard University at the first World Congress in Acapulco, Mexico in 1977, with experts from all over the world who saw actual evidence that extraterrestrial craft technologies not of this planet were being filmed and researched in depth by several countries. This was followed up in my presentations by being invited to speak with Dr. John Mack from Harvey University in 1995 in Washington, D.C., which is essentially the first disclosure conference from the American government. Members of the American government, particularly Dr. Scott Jones, who worked with Senate Intelligence, as well as Claiborne Pell, brought together a great assembly of experts. And we showed documentation from Africa showing children seeing and giving their personal accounts of extraterrestrial awareness. These children have been more recently filmed and acknowledged that there's no bad side effects from the sightings that were done back in the 1990s. To bring this to the forefront, we are now in the presence of seeing tremendous evidence this morning being presented by Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick of new calibration methods that would be necessary to give a better understanding of who's out there in space watching us.
Right, so let's give a review to from Alan Seinfeld so that we can start understanding some of the things that have gone on in the very recent, in fact, starting from June 5th, when a man whose name is Grouch, who worked for the UAP Task Force, gave his release and some other information. Alan, take it away for some introductions.
We have a little PowerPoint here. As we know, actually it was about this date, around July 6, 1947, which was what, 86 years ago, 76 years ago?
Yeah. 76 years ago, yes.
Basically, that there was a UFO that landed, a flying saucer, as they was called back then, crash landed in Roswell, New Mexico. But the following day, it says Army debunks Roswell flying saucer. So we've been have this back and forth tag. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. So it's like two steps forward, one step back. There seems to be right from the very beginning, two sides within the military and Congress fighting each other. And now it seems like the tables have turned. It's no longer suppressed knowledge. It's coming out, and there's still a debunking wing to that. So we went from UFOs, from flying saucers to UFOs to UAPs. We basically went from object to phenomena. This is a phenomena. These are not just objects in the sky. There's something a lot more which affects neurology, psychology, physiology. So it is a phenomenon, and that's an official recognition by the Pentagon. So,
Alan, if I can just say a few things first. So because these things are so long, you know, covered up, they're calling them the legacy program, because it's been 76 years, so to speak, and even maybe even more that they've covered up, because there was also a sighting in Missouri that was really well known. So in addition to that, in addition to just calling it UAPs as aerial phenomena, they've now changed it to anomalous phenomena, because many people, even Arrow, and we'll talk about who they are shortly, have also mentioned the fact that it's not just something flying, although you're showing it here, that they really are anomalous in the way that they are flying and the way they come in and go out. Go ahead, Alan.
So the next big letter day, I mean, there were lots of little incidents in the 50s, like UFOs over the Capitol building, 1952. 1961, Betty and Barney Hill's story came out. 1973, Travis Walton. But the big date that started this phase that JJ referred to was on December 16th, 2017. This headline in the New York Times: Glowing Auras, Black Money, the Pentagon's Mysterious UFO Program. And that program was led by this guy, Louis Elizondo. It was called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And why the word threat? Because since the data is being collected by military officials whose primary purpose is to protect the nation state from intruders or enemies, UFOs, UAPs are inevitably framed in terms of threat, even though people on the inside have been studying this for 70 years, said no real threat. If there was a threat, we would have been threatened a long time ago. So Elizondo was key in bringing this whole thing forward. We want to hear from Elizondo. So that was released on December 16th. On December 19th, Elizondo came out with this statement on CNN.
Do you believe that life from somewhere else, while you ran this program, came here, visited, observed?
I will tell you unequivocally that through the observation, scientific methodologies that were applied to look at this phenomena, that these aircraft, we'll call them aircraft, are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory, nor in any foreign inventory that we are aware of.
So I know you're being clear, but I mean, the answer is yes.
I can't speak on behalf of the government. Obviously, I'm not in the U.S. government anymore. My personal belief is that there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone, whatever that means.
Any comment? Because to talk about Elizondo, people are suspicious he actually still is working for the government. What's your feedback?
I would say the same as with many other people, that they still have what's called NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, that they can't say what they wanted to say or what they would like to say. And I think that's the crux of everything coming on right now, is that the Senate, as well as the House, certain people within them are trying to get a release so that all these people who have seen things, and not just whistleblowers, and I want to define the difference between that. It's whistleblowers are people who have information from very top sources that something is true and they're talking about it. There's a lot of witnesses who actually are the ones who have seen it. So all these are covered with what's in the government called NDAs, and that can affect their job, that can put them in jail. There's a lot of stuff, their pensions, everything can be wiped out. So they're trying to get a structure so that people can come forward, and these people who have NDAs can come forward and be protected by the government. And this is what the phase we are in right now. And I think you had a good friend, Alan, what's his name? He came up at your talk at Contact to say that between Labor Day and pretty much Thanksgiving, that they're going to try to get these actual witnesses to come forward. They're ready to do it. They're just waiting.
JJ, you have some information about 2004 as being a key moment in history.
Right. I was involved with colleagues in Mexico, pilots who had taken pictures actually with the military cameras of spaceships off the coast of Campeche, Mexico, that's in Yucatan, with practical analysis. It was a subject was moved to the head of the Department of Defense, and also with the help of leading journalist Jaime Maussan, information was brought to the public. I'm showing a document from 2004. If you can see that, you see several small lights over the cloud horizon, and you see markings that are put there for the other smaller objects. Altogether, there are, I've been told, upwards of hundreds of small objects. These objects, though, are very massive. Some of my colleagues in Mexico said they were upwards of 25 to 30 stories each. So,
now, who shot these? That's the real question. It was from a Mexican military plane that looks for drug runners. So they do it all the time. They counted at least 13 in one of the pictures. And unfortunately, right when they were going to release this, which is before the Nimitz, this is all happening in 2004. And of course, the Keys of Enoch talk about 2004 as a key time. But in actuality, they were just about to release this. And then within 24 hours, we know this from Jaime Maussan and our good friend, Capitan Luis Laura March, who were going to be part of the release, that something stopped it. And they could not release the information. Then they started saying, oh, they were oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, excuse me, these guys are Mexican Air Force. They know their area. You can see the data at the bottom that they're looking up, not looking down. They know exactly what they were. So that's exactly what happened. And of course, the Nimitz was the same thing. They got NDAs when they had seen this. There was several days that they saw these.
So this UFOs. Is important, Alan, and the audience who know my work with the Keys of Enoch. In 1973, I had a what we'll call physical and telepathic contact. And I wrote down that 2004 would be a time of major change where the scientific community would begin to recognize the reality that we were being visited. All countries were being visited. This is why the conversation we're having today is so important. There are other testimonies from government leaders, other sources besides Washington, D.C. So this is a global phenomena that has to be understood, that has tremendous significance for the future of human civilization.
So let me say one more thing. So actually, some of this got moved to the, because of the Senate, knowing things like the Nimitz and other people like Harry Reid, who's no longer with us, they got moved to something called the UAP Task Force. And then we're going to hear from Grush shortly. That just came out in June 5th in terms of his release of information. And then from the UAP Task Force, it got moved to something called AARO. And that's AARO. It's the All Domain Anomalous Resolution Office. That's what's really happening right now. And unfortunately, none of these agencies that have been set up to receive the information from these people because of the NDAs and because of other reasons are not receiving them.
It's going to go to that 2004 footage, which was released in 2017 by the Pentagon to the New York Times. So the Pentagon had this footage, and in that article, these videos were taken and shown.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots from the west. Look at that thing, dude.
So he says there's a whole fleet of them, but we don't actually see a whole fleet of them. So that's been the problem all along, but we got something. And then we have that article by Leslie Keen, Ralph Blumenthal, follow up to the Pentagon's acknowledgement. And the Pentagon briefing summary prepared by its director says, what was considered science fiction, now science fact. That was in the original 2017 article. Now we have this guy who we mentioned, who went from now Arrow, which was the new office, which replaced the UAP task force. We'll be hearing about the UAP task force, but after we saw that video from the Pentagon, then we get this guy coming out and saying the same thing they said in 1947. Oh, you thought it was a flying saucer. Well,
I should also state clearly for the record that in our research, Arrow has found no credible evidence thus far of extraterrestrial activity, off-world technology, or objects that defy the known laws of physics. In the event sufficient scientific data were ever obtained that a UAP encountered can only be explained by extraterrestrial origin, we are committed to working with our interagency partners at NASA to appropriately inform U.S. government's leadership of its findings. For those few cases that have leaked to the public previously and subsequently commented on by the U.S. government, I encourage those who hold alternative theories or views to submit your research to credible peer-reviewed scientific journals.
Well, that is another fallacy. The government already knows this. They already have it. So that was April, I think, 18th, that Kirkpatrick said that. Now
if I can just jump in here, Alan, today, July 6th, I just listened to Sean Kirkpatrick, an outstanding scientist who said now the objects in terms of their database have increased from 650 to 800, of which 2 to 5% are worthy of further investigation. But let's be clear here. We've got the best minds, I believe, in the world that are looking at new methods of calibration, of understanding through remote sensing technology, who and what we are dealing with in terms of massive levels of technology showing its appearance, its presence, its reality in different parts of the world.
So I just want to say, yes, so you had the, we'll say, the release to the public of Arrow a few months back. Then you had NASA, I imagine many of you saw that, also do a similar release, which, as we said, it has really nothing to do with it. Today, just this morning, you actually have Arrow, Kirkpatrick, and NASA coming together, but they're still not saying a lot. They're saying they're going to actually have more increase in their sensors. They're saying more and more people are coming forward, so they're getting more and more reports. Only half of them are about valid. You know, they can get rid of most of them. So we're really not getting anywhere with some of this.
All right. They're not saying the key word in everything that we want to hear is the alien word. We're not saying hearing the off-planet civilizations that are visiting us. They're kind of maneuvering around it. Even Elizondo didn't allude to it. But on May 19th, 2023, we did hear that word that we're waiting for. So I'm just going to play this now. This is Gary Nolan at the Salt Talk in New York, asked by this interviewer what's going on.
I'm curious, do you believe that extraterrestrial intelligence has visited planet Earth?
I think you can go a step further. It hasn't just visited, it's been here a long time and it's still here. And it has people talk about the wow signal, looking for extraterrestrial intelligence. The wow signal is that people see it on an almost regular basis. That's the communication that's already here.
That was a wow. Now that interviewer is a little stunned because obviously he hasn't been cued in on what's really going on.
And that statement seems so incredible that it's tough to believe, right? Like, people hear that, and maybe a lot of people here hear that, and they don't believe it. And so I'm curious, if you had to assign a probability to that statement, that you believe extraterrestrial intelligence has visited this planet, what probability would you assign?
100%.
Now, Gary Nolan is a scientist. He's an immunologist at
Stanford University, Alan. And I wanted you to thank you for Gary Nolan. He's an outstanding scientist, really one of the futurists that will make or break these assumptions.
What I'm saying about scientists, there is no probability in science. Either it is or it isn't. So when he says 100% probability, that means absolutely yes, this is true, what he's saying. So let me just continue.
And that's not just my opinion. I mean, look, the National Defense Appropriation Act, passed last year, signed by Biden in December. 30 pages of that is the establishment of an unidentified aerial phenomenon office, the establishment of looking into the harm that's happened to an even number of the individuals, going back to 1945 and looking at the disinformation and misinformation that has been basically articulated over the decades. 12 US senators have signed on to a document that basically says we want the information. The establishment of an office, Arrow, in the Department of Defense has 25 people working in it right now. And what's their goal? Collecting the information across all of the US Department of Intelligence, Department of Defense, intelligence offices, and collation of that into a uniform format for the very first time, and provision of that then to Congress, the creation of a whistleblowers program specifically that allows people from within, who I'm going to say this, who've been working on the reverse engineering programs, reverse engineering of objects, so that they can come in and break their oaths, but specifically just to talk to Congress and give that information in classified settings. And that the most recent one that happened was just last weekend, and it created quite a hornet's nest in Washington.
I'm going to see what that hornet's nest was, because that...
Alan, can I mention for just a few minutes before we get into the debrief, some of the Congress people that have been supporting this. I think it's important that we know them. So as she's already been mentioned, Kristen Gillibrand from New York, she's a Democrat. Marco Rubio, I know, Alan, you mailed your book Making Contact to Marco Rubio in Florida. He's a Republican. Tim Burchett in Tennessee, he's a Republican. Then there's also some representatives, Jim Hines, a Democrat from Connecticut. Also another representative, U.S. Representative Mike Turner, also a Republican from Connecticut. So there's more and more of these people coming forward. He mentioned 12. It'd be great to be able to list all of them and see. And they really are trying to push this forward. Without them, this would not be happening.
And I think, and according to some people, some of these senators, congresspeople might actually be experiencers. I know Mike Gallagher was pushing for the Wilson document to be admitted into the congressional record, which talks about Admiral Wilson trying to investigate this phenomenon and being denied. So there is this huge cover up, and whistleblowers are people who see illegalities inside government. We heard about that with Trump. But now this is so much bigger that there's something going on that is against the Constitution. It's against the lawmakers. And that's why we get the coming forward of this guy, David Rush. And this just happened June 5th, 2023. The story broke in the debrief by Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane. They both happened to be holding up copies of my book that I added, but that they are great reporters. They're the ones that did the original story in the New York Times. So what they came up with was this guy, David Charles Grush, 36-year-old, decorated, former combat officer of Afghanistan, veteran of National Geospace Intelligence Agency, National Reconnaissance Office. These are people who investigate strange objects in the sky. He also served as a representative to the UAP Task Force. That's what we're talking about. That's the organization before Arrow, from late 2021 to 2022. And this is David Grush,
an Air Force veteran, formally blowing the whistle on secrets he says no one has ever shared publicly before.
You are one of the most trusted former intelligence officials in the U.S. defense and intelligence establishment.
Yes.
You were trusted with the most intimate secrets. What conclusion did you come to at the end of your time on the UAP task force?
One thing, just to comment, the UAP task force was set up to investigate those vehicles, and they were denied access to that exotic material.
The UAP task force was refused access to a broad crash retrieval program.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number. I thought it was totally nuts, and I thought at first I was being deceived. It was a ruse. People started confiding in me. They approached me. I have plenty of current and former senior intelligence officers that came to me, many of which I knew almost my whole career, that confided in me they were a part of a program. They named the program. I've never heard of it. And they provided me documents and other proof that there was, in fact, a program that the UAP task force was not read into.
People came forward within the intelligence community saying something's going on here. Something illegal is happening in the government, like these crash retrievals and the technology are being sold to private industry. Now, why is that illegal? Because if there's a crash retrieval recovered by the government and that's sold to a private industry, first of all, are they getting a kickback from part of what's owned by the people of the United States? And is somebody on the inside government making money on selling that technology? That's what's so suspicious here. And that's why people's lives, I think, are threatened.
Everyone, the entire American public, has been lied to for decades.
Yeah, there's a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral.
They confided in him because he's an intelligence officer looking for that sort of material. So these people come forward and say, guess what? We're part of this secret program. And he says, what? What secret program? I've never heard of that.
And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here at great personal risk and obvious professional risk by talking to you today.
Well, what's come out is that there's a force inside government that is performing their own illegal investigation that is constitutional. This is bigger than anything that's happened in probably the last 100 or more years. This is the biggest split. This is an inside coup. There's parts of the military that are running away with their own agendas against the laws of the United States. I mean, I'm not such a patriot, but this is definitely a blow to our constitution. Okay, one more little clip. This is really where the sentence we've been waiting for since Roswell is spoken.
You are saying to the human race, for the first time, an official intelligence representative at a high level from the US government is saying publicly, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. And when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. As fantastical as that sounds, it's true.
Now, that is the bombshell. That is what is historic. That was the first time. That's right.
I just want to say, unlike Elizondo, who really just came public through the news media, this guy didn't. This guy actually has spent several months, if not years, trying to get this information to government sources. So he was at the UAP task force, and what he was told is that information was not being allowed into the UAP task force. And so he has filed briefings and we'll say documents in terms of the government. We were doing a film recently that same day that he released this information to the public with Danny Sheehan, who's a lawyer who's worked with some of these cases. So it's gone to the DOD as well as the Director of National Intelligence, which Avril Haines, to try to release this information, even in channels just to the senators who are asking for it. So this is why he finally went public, because that was going nowhere. It was taking too long to release the information. People had it. People had NDAs. They were not willing to come forward because they didn't want to risk their whole careers, their pensions, and everything. So that's why he went forward. Now, I want to add one other thing. There's a man named Larry McGuire, who's in Canada, who also says that there's what's called the Five Eyes Nations, which is most of the British colonies, including us, you know, who
all part of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, Commonwealth, but also the U.S., who have this information. He felt Canada was not in the top works of this information, but England, the U.S., and Australia in particular have this information, have been hiding this information, and he put it out to the Ministry of Defense in Canada to say, let's release this. He is from the area of Edmonton in Canada.
Here is a picture of a release that was made in 2021 by Avril Haines from her office of
the Director of National Intelligence.
9 pages of documentation showing the highest level of interest of the intelligence community.
It went back to 2004. That whole document started only in 2004.
But putting this in a larger perspective, Alan, we're looking at a worldwide phenomenon. I had the opportunity to talk to several government leaders and scientists in other parts of the world, and there was the same policy of silence. So it was not only the United States, but other countries, for reasons that have to be clearly understood from their perspective of sociology and psychology, that inhibited them from putting their cards on the table. My suspicion, it is the nature of the extraterrestrials themselves that are non-human and have unusual biological features that are rather unsettling. And some type of policy was set in motion back in the 40s to say, we have to take pause to understand that we need a whole new biological and sociological approach for people to accept face values of what we're seeing and recovering.
So we're going to take some questions shortly, but I want to say there's 3 reasons, I think, for the cover-up. First of all, they've been covering it up for over 75 years, starting with Roswell, 76 at this point, because that just really occurred. Second, it's a complex system. There's not one civilization visiting the planet that's talked to the governments that said, hi, look, we're here. It's very complex. And technology, the third function is technology. They have given us technology that has been given to corporations and have been incorporated into our system in various ways.
I want to say, Desiree and JJ, the reason this is coming out now is there's a fracture inside government. There's more UFO sightings around the world. People are having contact. People are having contact worldwide. Of course, it's not just this country. It's big in South America. We talk to people. I've talked to people in Italy, all over Europe, basically Europe, France, England. I'm sure most places are having sightings. And also, I think there's pressure by the UFOs themselves saying either you tell them or we'll tell them. And one more thing I think is important, which deals with your work, is this increase in vibrational frequencies of the planet itself and of human beings. And there's an expansion of consciousness, which is what, you know, the source of synergy and the evolutionary leaders are all about. Yes.
Well, I just want to say, in terms of the evolution of our seeing more and more UFOs, of course, actually the first person you talked to said that they've been here a long, long time. And that's true. However, you go back to Chaim Eshed, who was a general in the Israeli Air Force, and he said that some governments wanted to release, and the ETs, who they are closely in contact with, as Linda Moulton House says, actually don't think we're ready yet. Now, the reason we may not be ready is the fact that we are, what did Stan Freeman say, Alan?
Yeah, we're a bunch of apes whose favorite pastime is tribal warfare. But I think we are ready now. And I think that's what's coming out. I just want to say, just to finish my PowerPoint, there's just, like you mentioned, Marco Rubio and Kristen Gillibrand, there is coming up a UFO hearing that's going to be in Congress, pushed by these people. Let me just show you a little bit of what they are saying personally about the situation. Okay.
And then we'll talk about change of consciousness as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about change of consciousness, but this is Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio says he's heard shocking firsthand accounts of UFOs and reverse engineering. This is high-ranking government officials have firsthand knowledge of a secret Pentagon crash retrieval program. We knew that. Frankly, a lot of them are very fearful of their job. Now, this is the crux of the problem that no one's talking about. Who is threatening these people with their jobs? If we could just name those people, we could undo the cover-up. And so,
and I have to say, in terms of what they found, according to Grush, is the fact that it's not only pieces of UFOs, which actually Uri Geller recently came out and said he had seen that going back to when Wernher von Braun and Uri met, that Wernher von Braun showed him
in the 1970s
in a piece of metal that was from an alien spacecraft. But Grush also says they have a whole intact vehicles, which of course we believe because we think Area 51 was a place for back engineering, and we know some people that have been connected with that area.
Well, this has been carefully studied for many decades, Alan. This is a very complex situation that Dallas Array and I have been involved with.
And Alan.
And of course yourself in your great book, Making Contact, which I say is a necessity for people to be orientated to see the bigger picture. But beside Gary Nolan at Stanford University, right next door is Stanford Research Institute. And Desiree and I work with the late Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher.
And currently with Russell Targ.
One of the leading mathematicians in the world, published 450 papers. This is our book we wrote with her, Mind Dynamics in Space and Time. The bottom line is we find that people have a higher ability, conscious development, shall we say, to reach out and to telepathically make contact with other realities. And it's that clue to consciousness expansion that is the key to a new psychology and sociology that must be in place, because all of the information, the data, all these pictures, all of these news reports means a hill of beans to most people who do not have the ability to stand in the presence of a non-human life form. And this is why people I've talked to in other governments on highest levels said there's a factor of fear, suspicion, and even terror amongst the average person in countries that see these objects at close range, who are overcome by a vibratory presence that they can understand. So psychology and sociology have to be advanced inside of a much larger program. And hopefully most of the younger politicians on both sides of the political aisle will look at the new direction that we need, a new policy, a foreign policy or space science, a space law that will allow the average person to understand the psychological necessities that will equip that person for making contact.
But it's a very scary situation for some people who see everything as a materialistic reality and who don't understand remote viewing and consciousness. Because I mentioned Area 51, well, one of the people we got to be well known by or connected with is Dan Burrish. And he had supposedly, he was a
microbiologist,
and he had contact actually with an alien supposedly at Area 51, and we do believe him. And that alien communicated with him through telepathy and showed him his whole world of where he lives and how he lives. And it was all a matter of pictures. You go back to Citizens Hearing, to Linda Moulton-Howe, who said the government set this young man, other young man up with communicating with an ET. And when the ET communicated with him, he saw seven levels of movies going simultaneous, and then a flashing, we'll say sacred geometry or geometry on top of all that. It reminds me of the flame scripts of the Keys of Enoch. And that guy, he was a young guy, he was a strong man, right? He was a military Marine even or something like that. He passed out, it was so heavy. And then in your book, we write about a friend of ours who had contact in Florida. Now the two main places in the US for sightings is California and Florida. That's why I think you get Marco Rubio involved. And I do believe the Bermuda Triangle has something to do with it, because my girlfriend had contact. She was a marine biologist as well, in underground bases there of UFOs. And they told her what to say and what not to say. And a very good friend of ours who's a lawyer started pushing her. And you know, lawyers can really get you to say anything.
Just like Ross was pushing Grush.
Anyway, and we write about in your book that she said too much. And at that moment, even though it had been several years since her contact, a shelf literally flew up and things that had been there for, you know, years just went up, not just down. And she said, I can't say anymore. So there's a certain level of consciousness that exists with these ET intelligences.
Not be afraid of this anymore. We have to demand, in order to prepare us for contact, that the government, the military, those in charge of the secret, roll out the craft, roll out the bodies, and let's look at this phenomena as a planetary race. Yes, some people.
Let me just jump in by saying, Alan, a very wise point you're making, but that has already been done in the Steven Spielberg film Close Encounters of the Third Kind. If you look at the end of the film, you'll see these rather small, grotesque beings. That's one thing to see it on a major motion picture screen. It's another to see it physically next to you and to live with that reality. That is a horrendous experience that the movie industry had producing that film in the 1970s.
But I also want to say really quickly, Alan, that the fact is that a lot of people in the world, and we'll say from various religious backgrounds, think that they may be connected with what we would call demonic scenarios. And that's why the Keys of Enoch talk about the fact that in addition to ETs, which we feel are 80 to 90% positive and not in any way demonic, but some of them do function in fifth dimensional realities, there's also what we call extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrials, which are higher beings of light energy. So there are various levels, and we function with them as well as the extraterrestrials.
Say in response to JJ, we have to look at those, if you consider those beings grotesque because they're from another part of the cosmos, that is too big. We are in for a rude awakening. This is my radical point. We have to face those beings. We have to face the fear so we can know we're part of a bigger civilization, a bigger cosmos, a bigger humanity. It is time. Yes, it's going to be intense, but we have to be ready for it. Ready or not, here they come. So why not prepare ourselves for that? Just to finish up the presentation, I just want to go back to Marco Rubio, what do you think of the notion that it's our special access programs? Now, this is where this investigation by the military is happening in what they call SAPs. As we've heard of those claims in the past, this is the first one that's gone through the process. These are whistleblowers coming out. And along with that is Justin Gillibrand says, so if there are SAPs, special access programs out there, and they're somehow outside the normal chain of command, outside the normal appropriations process, they have to be divulged to Congress. We need to look into whether there are rogue SAC special access programs that no one is providing oversight for. This is the constitutional issue. There's a rogue element inside the Pentagon. That's it. So what they're doing is putting together an Intelligence Authorization Act so they can investigate anyone who's been in those programs. And there's a bill provided increased transparency by strengthening UAP funding and reporting. That's what we're coming to, a new language in the bill. If anyone has access to those programs, a comprehensive list of all non-Earth origins or exotic uniform anomalous phenomenon material, they saying come forward in 60 days or else you'll be charged with criminal possession. So
withholding back, yes, great.
We're looking at a very complex orientation that our country has been going through on high levels. And I would suggest even filmmakers were given some data back in the 70s and 80s to present a series of programs that the younger generation would accept and say, no big thing. There are other life forms in the universe. We can grow up with this reality. We can even learn the biological signatures and codes we need to work with a whole new cosmic environment.
But we feel Grush is just like the tip of the iceberg. He was just getting his toe in the water to see what would happen to him if he did this. Now a ton of actual witnesses, not whistleblowers, but witnesses are getting ready to come forward. Now, whether they feel confident enough, how they're going to do it, we may see that before the end of the year, or we may see that in the next 2 years. I do think ETs and their appearances more and more to the public will play a major role.
So I want to know who's threatening those whistleblowers, because once we know that.
Also, the events that you and I did with Dr. Hertak the day with, we had Richard Dolan, Danny Sheehan and his wife. We also had Linda Moulton Howe.
Stephen Bassett.
And Stephen Bassett and ourselves. And that was a fabulous thing.
We've been involved with this for 50 years. I've had a chance to work with shamans in Africa and South America, social scientists, reporters, journalists, metallurgists, the whole shebang, who have known that there are specimens, there are metallurgical fragments, and that's another story. But essentially, we're asking now the public to realize the average public citizen can be a diplomat if he or she has the proper psychology that is positive to see this not as a threat, but as an opportunity to move civilization to a new frontier. Right. I'm saying this having talked even to Russian specialists like Sergei Barlantsev, who was head of TASS, T-A-S-S, back in the 1980s in Russia, who showed me pictures of grotesque beings.
Right, so someone asked the question, I'm gonna just read it. It says, talk about the different beings. And I think that this is important. First of all, I wanna talk about the highest levels of being, and that is the light beings, the energy beings, and even the orbs. These are all part of, not extraterrestrial, but beings that exist in the universe. You have someone like Mark Sims, who talks about celestials, we call them extra-celestials, that appear to him in his bedroom and told him information about the history of the planet. These are beings that had been here before, don't come back in the physical body. And then you have extraterrestrials, and Dr. Jack and I have for a long time have actually been working on a book that contains some of this information. It also, he's mentioned in a book called Extraterrestrial Species Almanac by Craig Campobasso that was, we'll say, started and commissioned by MUFON, and a film now hopefully will be out before the end of the year where Dr. Jack and I both talk about, and with Frank and Tanya, our friends, they're producing it with various levels of intelligence being seen in the film.
So the bottom line is there's many categories. You can begin to understand the complexity of the situation and why the average scientist who is a specialist in one area has a hard time grasping all of these other levels.
So you have everything from the Nordics to praying mantis types to grays. The grays seem to be both robotic and non-robotic, depending on their height and certain characteristics and who they're working with. Then you also have reptilian forms, various forms of intelligence. And you have those that really can go from physical to non-physical. And they often, and most of them, can function in the fifth dimension, which is why they can take people through their own walls of their house and take them into ships.
So the bottom line is journalists should not simply point their fingers at the US government. They should point their fingers at the Russian government, the Chinese government, all the other governments that have sat also on the intellectual property, the anthropological data, the pictures that have been drawn by shamans that I've seen and others, suggesting we're not alone in the universe. Our planet is a schoolhouse for different levels of cosmic experience. And we need a new consciousness cosmology. And this is something Desiree and I address in our books and publications, and why we need a new space law, and why we need a new sociology. It doesn't simply mean politicians are going to have all of the answers. We have to increase, as it were, the opportunity for other academics, specialists, and other fields to come forward to present this overall greater picture.
And Alan, I want to get you on in a minute, but someone actually also asked, how can we connect with them personally? Now, we recommend that you connect with the higher beings of light, the highest beings that you can. And those are usually, we'll say, higher guides and forces. And then as needed, you will connect with extraterrestrials, because the ones you want to connect with are those connected also, like we would be, with higher forces of light intelligence. And they will come to help humanity. They've already done a lot to protect us from nuclear weapons. They are totally anti-nuclear for the most part. They have neutralized, missiles in their silos. So they've shown that that is not the way to go.
But all of this evolves around the science of consciousness. This is why this book is The Real X-Files, Mind Dynamics in Space and Time. Now, these are serious scientists, the very upper 1% of the American society that have shown that mind over matter does work. Telepathic communication does work. The power to reach out and make contact with different civilizations or cultures on Mother Earth, shall we say, does work. So we have an opportunity now to move ahead what I will call a new educational outreach program. This should be immediately addressed in addition to the information Sean Kirkpatrick and others are putting together.
I just want to add one thing by Leslie Gonzalez here. She's from Chile, says they're being seen more and more in the skies here in Chile, specifically in the Elqui Valley. They're seen very often. If you look at the hieroglyphics in the mountains, you can see the spacecraft. So this is a worldwide phenomenon. I just also wanted to show one last slide. And I know this is a person you knew very well, JJ and Desiree. This is me and John Mack, who was one of really the key players in understanding a phenomenon on a consciousness level. He says, we're dealing with phenomena which violates our sense of reality, which operates in the gray area between the physical world and the subjective world. This phenomenon will not yield its secrets until we discover other ways of knowing. Meaning, we can't approach this by Western Newtonian logic. We have to change the paradigm of thought. And that's what's so key to the work I'm doing with the Hertogs. We're changing the modality of thought. We're becoming more intuitive, more open. The remote viewing part is really key in understanding how to use different aspects of our brain, different functionalities of consciousness. So,
I introduced John Mack to the Zulu shaman, Kredu Mutwa, who is not only a native practicer of what I would call the historic mystical traditions of South Africa via the Zulu traditions, but also a practicing Catholic mystic. So there's a spiritual component that has to be brought in also, that this phenomena has what we call in the Greek language, noumena, or the interaction of the mind to accept other realities that are beyond the linear concept of science. We are being prepared to accept the fact that we are multidimensional beings. The research at Stanford Research Institute that resulted in our book and other books has shown that we are local as well as non-local. This is now a new word in the scientific vocabulary. Humans are non-local, having the ability to reach out and connect with other minds any place on Mother Earth. There's no secrets, there's no private space if we wish to engage with the consciousness expansion possibility. So we have to improve our learning capability, our mental sensitivity. We have to go from five senses to the sixth and seventh sense to reach out and make contact.
And we have to have love. If you vibrate, and that's one of the answers also to the question, not only to use the higher psychic attunement powers, but to actually, if we have love, caring, wanting to help humanity, wanting to help the universe, that resonates with the highest forces of intelligence, including extraterrestrial, extracelestial, and ultra-terrestrial. So it's our own emanations, individually and collectively.
This is the work of the great masters, which is why Desiree and also suggest, as we have to other scientists throughout the world, we must go beyond the extraterrestrial to the ultra-terrestrial, the higher level of consciousness, mental engagement, as well as engagement of the heart. Without knowledge of compassion, love for all humanity, we're simply dealing with mind games of the ETs. We're simply dealing with bits and pieces of technology that have absolutely no meaning to the average person in the street. We have to engage the average person in the street, and it has to be done very carefully, which is why we need a new outreach, a new speaking platform, which you, Alan, represent. And your work of New Realities and your book, Making Contact, is essential for people to see all the various views from the different experts that we're dealing with multidimensionality. Unless we have multidimensional outreach in love and compassion with the divine source, I believe we're playing a game that will go no place.
So let's hear from Kathy Rosenbaum.
Some countries are well aware of all sorts of knowledge experiences that are happening. And findings, and yet there's not being shared, mentioning that other countries like Russia and China, they should be coming forth as well or sharing. And I think it'd be so, it would be magnificent to see a real scientific symposium take place. Perhaps you could host that online or invite the scientists to begin to share. Like, why are we holding an East-West division when it's a global issue that we should be all talking about? So just a thought of maybe you would think about bringing forth an invitation to the East.
According to our country dialogue about this, and it's just not obvious because we want to take this kind of stance that we're enemies, but there really are world governments working together to look at this situation because it is a human race. Change, transformation. What are we saying?
When you look at the space station, the International Space Station, where countries have come together and work very hard to advance science, upon that principle of sharing and getting along, like, let's transfer that same principle of shared knowledge into this topic. And I'm sure that we would see some probably some amazing, you know, data knowledge.
Well, actually, a lot of it has to do with technology and what technology they have gotten from extraterrestrial sources. Now, I wish Alan would pop back on because he actually talked to someone in China, and I wanted him to talk about that a little bit because this is now just a UFO researcher, and she had to leave the country to be able to talk about it, right, Alan?
China has a lot of contactees. They have a lot of sightings, and it's all underground. You know, it's totally denied by the government. So this woman, Xiao Ma, had to go to Australia to carry on her work for the Chinese people that are equally having experiences like we're seeing in Europe and South America. There is some in Africa, of course. Worldwide, it's a worldwide phenomenon for the human race, and it's about our transformation. So this is what we're up against. So countries are working together, but like all of this, it's not for the public to see. We are being kept in the dark and we are being lied to continuously about this phenomenon. So it's time we stand up as a population, take back our rights, petition our representatives, if that's where they are, to come forward. And Kirsten Gillibrand, Senator from New York, is actually doing that. And there's a few other people saying, wait a minute, something's going on here and we want to get to the bottom of it. So it's a chance to unite the planet. It has united the Democrats and the Republicans for sure under this issue. And so it's unifying, but those that want to keep people separate and oppressed and enslaved, imagine, because a lot of this is about free energy. Once we have free energy, we will not be enslaved to the fossil fuel companies. It is a political angle. More than aliens, it's politics that we're dealing with here, unfortunately.
Thank you very much. Thank you for addressing that.
We're very positive about what's going to be happening in the next few years. I'll give it a few years. Murray Geller said to what was the
15
year?
Years.
15 years. But I hope the next few years that really this will be behind us. We'll know everything that has gone on since Roswell and even before that, the Missouri crash and others. And we'll be able to really talk openly about this. Even now, people are not making jokes that much anymore at this point regarding extraterrestrials. That was something that—
Since 2004, that was the watermark where people saw declassified military film and realized that there were real players that would operate out of the oceans, that could operate within a few seconds from high altitude. So we're looking at a whole new reality that is both going to push the envelope in science, what we will call spiritual philosophy, a whole new area of sociology. And of course, I'm involved with linguistics and the understanding of the voice prints that are coming from these extraterrestrial sources. So the big picture is we can grow up quickly and take a lead from the generation of Steven Spielberg, that we are able to move ahead without fear by looking forward to a positive future if we understand that we are active players of a future government in space as well as on our planet and sister planets.
So let's hear from John.
Having been in both positive and negative craft in my youth, and being your student for 40 something years now, can you, Dr. Hertzak, explain the difference in the and being able to tell the difference between positive and negative ETs and what they have in store for you? And
a very good question, John. If I can just cut to the question directly.
Sure, of course.
We found that the positive forces give us a sense of love, a sense of mental maturity, a sense of being, a sense also of recognizing that there is a divine source. In other words, there is a higher ethics, a higher cosmic law that operates beyond our solar system. We also recognize that some of these grotesque beings that we've seen in what we would call Star Wars, such as the bar scene, represent offshoots of evolutionary cultures that need to be upgraded, that are acting as poachers coming into Mother Earth, as game reserve people would say, hunters from outside trying to take subjects into captivity, into biological experimentation.
But what we found from Dan Bursch and others is the fact that Our friend Virgil Armstrong wrote a book, They Need Us, We Don't Need Them. So some of the, we'll call them ones that aren't as positive, really are clones or have had what's called genetic fatigue. And because we haven't been cloning our own population, they like to have certain elements from us. We were just, as I mentioned, with Linda Moulton Howe, and she even has now discovered that the reason why they are taking elements from cattle mutilation, and we're seeing that on the rise once again, is because they need certain nutrients and certain enzymes that are part of the cattle. So some of them are here to get what we can offer them, not just what they can offer us.
So go with those that show love. Disengage from those that give you fear or hostility or do not have what you will call the human or Adamic image, because you cannot live in that presence of that reality for too long.
Part of it is are as multidimensional beings. This is another reason I think we're being kept from this news, because it calls on human beings to know that there's more to them. There's more to our intelligence, there's more to our awareness. And by being kept in the dark, we don't recognize who we really are. But when you meet these beings, and yes, their vibration is different than ours, but we can rise to the occasion and meet them on an even playing field if we just have knowledge. So this is sort of why we're here presenting this to people, because the takeaways from this is the expansion of human consciousness. That is one of the major takeaways we want people in this coming to the source of synergy, meaning consciousness and contact, to realize that consciousness is the primary factor here. And these beings are not greater than us. They're not less than us. They may have different agendas, but so do a lot of people we know. So it's like we want to meet them on an even playing field and see that the sentience, the God force, the divine emanations is the same in us as it is in most of them, if they're not clones, and even if they are. But so there's nothing to fear. It's shifting our vibration. It's shifting our awareness that there's more, not being shocked by the unknown. This is what we have to do, prepare to meet the unknown. And these next couple of years are in preparation for an expansion of human civilization. That's why we're at such an epic in history. And I think it's really exciting, whoever they
are. This is why Source of Synergy is important, because it's a platform for educational catch-up. Through the documentation that you, Alan, put together with Desiree and I put together from other countries, young people and old people alike from all parts of the world culture can see the evidence that is growing, that is suggesting that we are being prepared as a human creation to accept the fact that evolution doesn't stop with Mother Earth. There are other life forms, some of which are like us, others not like us, that we have to be aware of. We need the proper psychology and sociology of engagement. We at the Academy for Future Science, science guided by consciousness, are putting out the guidelines in music, in linguistics, in psychology, in anthropology, all these other areas. This is why this whole situation should not be controlled by Capitol Hill, by people only who are in legal science and word games, and do not have the capacity to understand the opening of the heart. People who have to deal with these realities on the face-to-face, day-by-day level, is that phenomena will actually increase, that this is the story of creation on our doorstep. We are being prepared to turn the page of history to become homo universalis, universal humanity. Look forward to the MUFON documentary. This is going to be important. It'll be shocking, but it'll be very important for you to see the other life forms and you understand why the governments of the world have been reluctant. You can see that situation from their perspective. How can you talk about 82 different species on a level playing field? How can you talk about those who have the ability of mind over matter? How can you talk about those that are connected with what we will call divine sources, or what we will call the avatars, or the archangelic dimension of those who have graduated beyond the physical into the non-physical? So, you know, these are realities that require a whole new science of evolution we call the higher evolution. So we are fastening our seatbelts. Again, don't panic. Understand that we are being prepared for cosmic citizen. Yes, we must discern those who are with us and those who would practice science and medicine against us. We must grow up and recognize also the great opportunity of the free world to freely share information that will help us take the higher path.
So what are maybe the top three things people can do, the people on this call, to support disclosure? So one would be reaching out to your representative, and then maybe talk to your local media and try to get a show on your local media, maybe have a MUFON party, you know, viewing party, something like that. So any recommendations that we could all do to really push this?
Well, three, also work with your mind to be more flexible in terms of a worldview point that's more ecumenical or universal, and understand that our ancestors wrote about this in the ancient scriptures there in the book of Ezekiel, the vehicle that was seen by the prophet, that this is well within the history of the human race. This is nothing new. We have to reclaim our lost history that goes way back, and that suggests that our ancestors were aware that there was life from other solar systems.
And I would say talk to young people as well, because some of them just consider the sci-fi. They don't understand how it all comes together. So it's important also to communicate with them. And I do feel that Grush, actually, we weren't sure if you listened to the conversation we all six of us or seven of us had on June 5th on Alan or my YouTube, is the fact that this has still been pushed in the media. It first went out to Newsweek and Fox. CNN did not pick it up. New York Times did not pick it up, although it came out in the New York Times magazine. But it's still in the movement. It's pushed people forward. So we need to keep pushing this information out.
But the big thing I think we can do, Diane, everyone, is talk about your experiences. If you've seen something, say something, like they tell you to do on the subway. If you see something, say something, because that is going to create a tide of influence for other people to come forward and talk about their experience. It's a natural thing. It's if we keep it to ourselves, other people, the government looks at that as an example. No, we have to rise above the fear. If it was something that frightened you, talk to someone about it. Let's get over the trauma of contact and let's go and meet the others, because they are us waiting for us to wake up. So it's not fear of the others we have, it's fear of each other, fear of judgment, fear of, you know, just the ridiculous things people fear about speaking out. It's time to speak out. Tell someone if you've seen an object in the sky, if you've had a dream, if you've had an encounter, if you've even had an intuition, a download. We need to evolve as a human civilization by speaking about our experiences. That is so key. That is the most important thing you can do. You might be the only one in your family, but tell your family. And maybe,
well, maybe everybody on this call, if they want, could organize a town hall meeting in their community. I know Hioko and Selena said they're in San Miguel, where our friend Deborah Moldau is. I don't know if you know Deborah. I know she's part of the CE5 group. You do know Deborah. But maybe you all can come together and organize a town hall meeting where you share experiences.
Right. Yes, we could just make that maybe an evolutionary leader project, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, well, join all of us at our different lectures. We're going to be in actually in Las Vegas talking about a lot of this with Alan Steinfeld, November 10th, 11th, and 12th. We're going to be in Mexico, both at two conferences in Querétaro and also in Mexico City. Alan's going to join us in Mexico City at a large, it's called Ufology Congress, I think it is.
And we're going to be in London in early October.
Yes,
we're going to be in Warsaw, Poland. In mid-October, we're going around the world because the world needs to understand this is a time of graduation.
Anyway, and just on a positive note, you know, keep connecting with the stars, keep connecting with positive energy. If you ask, that's what they really want. They want someone to reach out to them. It's a co-participation. It's not a one-way street that they're going to reach out to you. But it has to be because not for yourself, because you want to help humanity.
But use discernment. Yeah. Follow your heart with higher love. Follow your mind with knowledge that helps all humanity. And follow your God-given divine spark, knowing what freedom is all about. Freedom of discussion, freedom of sharing knowledge, the universe, freedom of recognizing through compassion we are all connected in the story of life. This is a great opportunity for humanity to move forward. And this is the opportunity we share with you always in joy and purpose.
We're going to keep at it until we get the final disclosure until we make friends with those ETs, until we are welcomed into the cosmic family that is waiting our enlightenment, our awakening, our transformation. So this is the most exciting thing I think any of us could really devote our energies to, the real awakening of humanity. And that's why I'm so excited that we're at a threshold of another turning point in history. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you, JJ and Desiree, for your insight and your dedication. Of course, Diane, Source of Synergy Foundation founder, and bringing together groups of people that want to make a difference in the world. So I'm happy to be a part of that. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and thank you all.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Dr. Sertak. Thank you everyone for coming.